Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is a portion of the first reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Let all things be done for building up. Let all things be done for edification was how you heard it read. A more modern translation is, let all things be done for building up. It's interesting to look at what the modern translations do with a text like this. For example, the Good News Bible, everything must be of help to the church. The Jerusalem Bible, everything must be for the common good. New International Version, all must be done for the strengthening of the churches, which is getting better, getting more precise, because this is very much what's involved, making the churches strong. But none of these translations really captures the meaning of the original Greek. One of the best is the New Revised Standard Version, let all things be done for building up. Because that is the picture that we have in the Greek word here, oikodomai. And you beginning Greek students would recognize oikos, a house, oikodomeo, I build. And this is a noun related to this, oikodomai. Let everything be done for oikodomai, for building up the house of the church. So our picture here is a picture taken from the world of building construction. And Paul is saying to Christian people, let everything we do as Christians, and particularly when we come together for worship, be done towards the great goal of building the church. The great house of the Christian church. Let's be constructive about our lives as Christian people and church workers. And so our text calls upon us to examine ourselves too, because we all know that there have been many times in our lives where we have not been constructive, where we have torn down rather than built up. And we all need to ask God for his grace and forgiveness for our many failures. Now, all construction of the church, all building of the church begins with God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In obedience to his Father's will, he acted constructively. He took constructive action, building action, to rescue us from the destructiveness of sin, death and the power of the devil, making peace by the blood of his cross. Not only is our Lord the great builder of the church, our Lord Jesus is also its foundation, as St. Paul tells us. Jesus Christ is the one and only foundation of the church. And the apostles, like Paul, were very careful that they were doing all their building on that one and only foundation. Paul saw himself as a skillful master builder whose chief task and authority was to build up, not to tear down. Sometimes he had to correct people sharply, rebuke people. On occasion, he had to exercise church discipline, but this sharp activity from time to time was always subservient to his primary task of building the church up through the Holy Gospel. And Paul always remembered that he was like a builder or farm worker who worked for someone else. He worked for someone who was the true builder, the true owner of the building, the true owner of the field. The church was God's field, he said, in places planted by Paul, watered by Apollos, but all the growth came from God. Or to return to the picture of the building, The church is God's building, he tells the Corinthians. It's God's building, not Paul's, not Apollos's, not anyone else's. And Paul and his fellow pastors are accountable to God for how well they build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. It's God's church, and it's nourished by God's gift, his means of grace that come to us in word and sacrament. Just as our lives as individual Christians need to be built on the solid rock, as Jesus tells us in Matthew's Gospel, we need to be built on the solid rock of hearing God's word and doing it, so the whole church is built up by the same means of the word of God. Now, what are constructive Christians like? What does it mean to be a constructive Christian? Someone who cooperates with God in his great task of building the church. How do they operate? First of all, three ways in which they do not operate. They do not operate by selfish individualism. They always think of what builds the whole body of Christ. They don't flaunt their spiritual gifts, as Paul tells the Corinthians. They're not puffed up. They're not wise in their own eyes. They're not full of themselves. On this basis, Paul evaluates the gifts of tongues and prophecy. Tongues, he says, have no great value unless they can be interpreted in order to build up the whole church. Prophecy is much better than tongues, he says, because all can learn and all can be encouraged. Prophecy is not so likely to foster selfishness. When we gather for worship, it is the church at worship, Paul reminds the Corinthians. It's the body of Christ at worship. It's not a time for individuals to show off their skills, to draw attention to themselves. So first of all, a constructive Christian is not a selfish individualist. Secondly, to be a constructive Christian, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be positive about everything that's happening. We don't have to say yes to everything that's happening. We can't dispense, it seems, with the words positive and negative. They are useful words, but they are sometimes overused in Christian circles by people affected by humanistic philosophies of positive thinking, possibility thinking, and so forth. An example comes to mind from the last edition of Forum newsletter. Some of you may be familiar with this. A woman reporting on her membership, which she has since given up, her membership on a commission of a certain church. And she described the last meeting of this committee. One activity at this meeting consisted of the leader throwing a small plastic package of grape jelly to various committee members. Whoever caught the jelly had to say something sweet, i.e. positive, about what they had learned in the group building sessions. At this same meeting, she had proposed that the only proper name in which one may be baptized into the body of Christ was in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Her proposal was not given a hearing. She was told that she needed to be positive about what was going on in the meeting where they were invoking the name of Creator, Christ, and Spirit. If people insist that we have to be positive, in other words, say yes to everything that is going on, be gung-ho for whatever happens to be on the current agenda, whatever's popular, the church cannot be built up. The church is only built up where there's room for constructive criticism on the basis of the Word of God. Thirdly, constructive Christians don't believe in peace at any price. They don't believe in peace at the expense of agreement in true doctrine. The building up of the body of Christ that Paul speaks about to the Corinthians and Ephesians is associated with everyone's coming to the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to Christian maturity, so that we're not blown around by every wind of doctrine that speaks the truth in love. And so the constructive Christian is not a selfish individualist, according to Paul. He isn't automatically positive about the most popular current ideas. He doesn't just say yes to everything. He doesn't believe in peace at any price. What are his positive characteristics, if I can use the word positive? Three things again. First of all, to be positive means to be an encourager of our fellow Christians. Like Barnabas, the Christian is a son or a daughter of encouragement. Think of how Barnabas treated his young cousin, John Mark. Paul, a single-minded, devoted missionary, zealous for God's word, conscious of how little time he had, despaired of Mark after Mark deserted him halfway through the first missionary journey. As far as Paul was concerned, the work was too important to risk taking someone along who was going to leave him halfway through. And that's understandable from Paul's point of view. But Barnabas was willing to give Mark another chance. He encouraged him. He helped him to get over his sense of failure. No doubt he assured him of God's forgiveness. And he took him along on an easier assignment this time. They revisited the churches of Cyprus, which was familiar territory, and both Barnabas and Mark had relatives there who could care for them and encourage them. In this way, Barnabas built Mark up again so that that young man later won the confidence of Paul again and the confidence of St. Peter. Barnabas was truly a man, a son of encouragement. He was a builder of the church through encouragement. May that be said of all of us, that we are sons of encouragement, daughters of encouragement to our fellow Christians. Secondly, constructive Christians are characterized by love. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, Paul tells the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, with the great theme of building up, is preceded by Paul's great chapter on love. We spoke about love in our hymn. Keep me from saying words that later need recalling. Guard me lest idle speech may from my lips be falling. But when within my place I must and ought to speak, then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak. And thirdly and lastly, constructive Christians are characterized by peace. And those words, building up, edification, oikodomai in the Greek, and peace are often connected in the New Testament. Constructive Christians are characterized by peace, a constant striving for peace that's inspired by the Prince of Peace. Paul wrote to the Romans, let's pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Our hymn concluded, help me as you have taught to love both great and small, and by your Spirit's might to live at peace with all. Encouraging, loving, peaceful. These are the three great characteristics of the constructive Christian, the person who obeys the Apostle's words, let all things be done for building up. God grant that we may all be constructive Christians to God's glory in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.